That is the opening of the second rhapsody from a pair of rhapsodies by Charles Martin Loeffler, naturalized American composer, born 1861, died 1935, and it was played by oboist John Dee of the University of Illinois faculty, along with violist Michael McClelland, formerly of the University of Illinois faculty, and pianist Roberta Rust, who, if she has a connection to the University of Illinois faculty, I'm not aware of it. You're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Good afternoon. Thanks very much for joining us for the show. It's your connection to local performances. And this music will be on a concert tonight, presented by the Illinois Chamber Music Festival at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington at 8 o'clock in Westbrook Auditorium on the campus there. The artists will be violist Michael Isaac Strauss, who comes from Oberlin Conservatory, pianist R. Kent Cook, who teaches at Wesleyan, and oboist Roger Rowe, who is at Indiana University. Also involved in the program from the Illinois Wesleyan faculty is poet Michael Tooney, who will be reciting poetry which directly inspired music that is on the recital. And in fact, there is a poem that inspired that movement in the second of the rhapsodies by Charles Martin Loeffler. Both rhapsodies will be played on that program. I'll be talking with Michael Tooney later on the program. In fact, we'll hear a couple of the poems. We'll hear him recite a couple of the poems. But first, I'm going to be talking with Kent Cook, who is the pianist and also the principal organizer for the event. And welcome to the show, Kent. And why don't you tell us how this all came together with people from so many different places?
Well, we're old friends, and there are not that many pieces written for the combination of oboe, viola, and piano. In fact, there's really only one in the repertoire, which is the Loeffler. And we played it, and then we started looking around for other pieces with that combination, and we found four others. And so there are five pieces that we've been working on and performing some, and we realized that they all have a literary connection. And so this program evolved. We're in the process of, we're going to do all four or five, actually, in recital, and then we're going to make a recording of them. It's coming up here in the spring. But for this series of recitals we're doing in the spring, we thought it'd be really nice to have a series of programs where we actually heard the poetry read in conjunction with the performances of the music. And the Holbrook and the Loeffler and the White, they're all trios for this combination. It's early 20th century British, and in the case of Loeffler, American music, all trying to take this turn of the 20th century poetry and tell the story through music. So it's really interesting. I think it's going to be a really interesting experience to hear the poetry and then hear the music.
Well, and just to fill in for listeners, the Holbrook you referenced is a nocturne by Joseph Holbrook. And you said he's from where?
He's British.
He's British. And then White is Felix Harold White, a composer I have not heard of. A wonderful title, The Nymph's Complaint for the Death of Her Fawn.
Right.
That sounds like a poetic title right there.
Right. And Andrew Marvel is the poet there, and he's 17th century British. And if you read it, it's quite a long poem.
And then you also have a couple pieces on the program for different combinations, I guess.
Well, the Britain Lacrimae is for viola and piano, and it's based on a song of Dowland. So there is a connection to word there, but that piece particularly is very interesting. It's a theme and variations kind of in reverse. It's only at the end of the piece that you hear the real tune, and throughout the piece he's kind of taking the tune, the musical tune, apart, and he kind of puts it back together through the course of the theme and variations. And then the other piece we're playing tonight at the end of the program is the Rebecca Clark Viola Sonata. And if you're a violist, you certainly know that piece. And also we found at the very beginning of that piece, she excerpts a French poet in the beginning. So there's also a loose literary association with that piece.
So what's the literary reference from literary influence on the Loeffler Rhapsodies that we open with?
Well, the poet's Maurice Rollinat, French, I guess you can call him a symbolist. He's about that time. He didn't write that much poetry. What he wrote's very dark, a little scary. And the music is really beautiful, but it's very loose form. It changes moods. It's really interesting music. It's hard to know what was going through Loeffler's mind. He was actually, I think, the concertmaster for the Boston Symphony. But he ended up writing this piece. It's one of the few pieces we know of his. And I think it's like a through-composed piece. It's really taking each stanza of the poem and putting it to a musical setting.
Do the composers, as far as you can tell, from a non-poet's perspective, do the composers seem to be influenced at all by the form of the poetry in writing the in creating the music?
Since I've never studied poetry really seriously, I would hesitate to go down this road. But I don't know how to answer that question. I think particularly the marvel is it's an old style of poetry. And I would say in that piece, no, he did not, the Felix White piece. In the Loeffler, which you asked about, I just don't know how to answer that. I think he's trying to because the music is sectional, but I wouldn't be able to tell you how he approached each section. You know, it's not like with a song when you certainly have to, the phrases have to match up with the words. It's not like that at all.
Well, let's give a little listen to Benjamin Britten's Lacrimae. This is a piece I don't know at all. And is it something that is known to reasonably well by, well, I was going to say by ensembles who play this music, but this is pretty unusual to get an ensemble like this together.
Right. So, well, it's for solo viola and piano, and Britten later...
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. This is the right.
Right, but he went back and arranged it actually for chamber orchestra. So there are versions. I would say some larger groups may have played the piece in the orchestral version, but it's an amazing piece.
Well, let's give a little listen to it. It's Lacrimae by Benjamin Britten. Lacrimae, I'm forgetting, means.
It's a mourn. Translation. It's mournful.
Tears, something
yes,
like that.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. And it'll be played on a recital tonight at Illinois Wesleyan by Michael Isaac Strauss, violist from Oberlin Conservatory. He is on faculty there, I assume.
Right.
And then with my guest, R. Kent Cook from Wesleyan, in the piano's role. And you're listening to Live and Local. That is a portion of a much longer work called Lacrimae, or Tears, by Benjamin Britten, Reflections on a Song of John Dowland. That song, If My Complaints Could Passions Move, and as it happens, although that the theme, as Kent Cook said earlier, doesn't show up until towards the end, and the variations all happen at the beginning of the piece, he does eventually quote in variation number 6 another song by Dowland, which is called Lacrimae, Flow My Tears, Lacrimae, I should have said. In this performance, we heard violist Yuri Bashmet and the Moscow soloist. So this is the version for chamber orchestra that Kent Cook mentioned. And the piece will be played by Kent on piano with violist Michael Isaac Strauss from Oberlin Conservatory on the concert tonight at 8 o'clock in Westbrook Auditorium on the campus of Illinois Wesleyan University. This is a presentation, this recital, for music for viola and piano, and also for oboe, viola, and piano, along with poetry that'll be recited by Illinois Wesleyan faculty poet Michael Tooney. Is a presentation of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival, which is something that has a larger festival associated with it, and then they do some other programs throughout the year as well. Just a word, maybe, Kent, about the Illinois Chamber Music Festival. I've had conversations with Lisa Nelson and some [S2] Right. [S1] Of the others involved over the years. There is a festival that happens a certain time of the year, but then throughout the year, you've started to have these occasional programs.
Right. We tried. The festival is about a 3-week program in the summer. Last summer we celebrated our 10th season, and Lisa Nelson, maybe 4 years ago, started to have concerts throughout the year, one in the spring and one in the fall, and this spring I think we're trying for 2, and they're still here on the Illinois Wesleyan campus, but there are artists that are involved during the summer that come back.
You, in talking about piecing together this particular program for viola, oboe, and piano, not that many pieces for those combinations of instruments, but how did you run across the Felix Harold White piece and the Joseph Holbrook piece?
I think word of mouth. I think the Felix Harold White, when there was someone that heard us play the Loeffler, or there was another piece by Kahn that we played, and I think they said, well, do you know the piece by Felix Harold White? And we said, no, and so we tracked down the music. It wasn't easy to find. I think the version we have came from the Netherlands, I think. A friend of the oboist had a copy. And then the Joseph Holbrook piece also was, the oboist was at a festival in Virginia, met a violist who said, do you know the Joseph Holbrook piece? And so he said, well, no, I don't. And actually, he tracked that one down in the Indiana University Library. It was there. So.
Unfortunately, we don't have recordings of either of these pieces. One perhaps has one recording. The other one, as far as you know, hasn't been recorded. What can you tell us about the piece that has that wonderful title, The Nymph's Complaint for the Death of Her Fawn?
Well, as I said earlier, the poem is rather extensive. It's a long poem about a woman whose partner has left her. And so the poet uses all these amazing allusions about lost love. And the particular harmonic language of Felix White, and of course it conjures up, it's this early 20th century kind of, trying to think of another, if you know the composer Griffiths, Charles Griffiths.
Yeah, a little bit.
That kind of sound is quasi-impressionistic, really beautiful chords and sounds. And again, it's a through-composed piece, and he's trying to tell this story. There's one section of the poem which talks about the fawn running through the forest. And so there's a section where the music speeds up and gets very active, a lot of sprightly motion, moving around really quickly, and then the piece comes to a kind of a sad conclusion again for, the death of her fawn. Again, I think it's White's trying to tell this story through music, and it's subjective, really. I mean, if you didn't know the poem and you heard the music, I don't know what you would think of it if that story But that's why I think tonight's going to be a really interesting experiment to hear the story and then have that story in your mind when you listen to the music.
And having said that we didn't have a recording of this music, lo and behold, I found one in our library that's relatively recent. With oboist Alex Klein, violist Richard Young, and pianist Ricardo Castro, that's the beginning of Felix White's piece, The Nymph's Complaint for the Death of Her Fawn, based on an Andrew Marvel or Marvell poem written in 1921. Felix White, born in 1884. And you're listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible by these business partners: Christopher Thorpe of Gibson City, A-Plus Farms Limited of Pine Village, Provena Covenant Medical Center of Urbana. These business partners join the friends of WYLL in making great programs possible, and we thank you very much. And reading the poetry, some of the poetry that influenced the music on the tonight's recital will be Michael Tooney of the Illinois Wesleyan University campus, and of course my guest, I'll be talking to him later, my guest this portion of the show is Kent Cook, who will be the pianist on this concert. And you picked Michael Tooney because he is himself a poet?
Yeah, he's a poet, and he's on campus. He teaches several poetry classes, and I know he's big on poetry performance. He often has his classes do poetry readings throughout, around campus. So I thought he'd be perfect. He loves doing performance of poetry, so he'll be great.
I know I talked to him briefly, and he said he probably couldn't have answered the question either about the form of the poem versus the form of the music, not being a musician. And so people just have to go and hear and experience that part of it.
Right. I think this is, we say through composed music, meaning there's no discernible form like a sonata form or a rondo form or any of the traditional musical forms.
The music just evolves as
right,
it goes.
Exactly.
What about the Nocturne by Joseph Holbrook? What's the sound of that one?
Well, it's similar to the White. Again, this is from this time period. You have a lot of this influence from early 20th century France, Debussy sounds and Ravel sounds. The harmonies are very, I say, elusive, and what I mean by that is they don't resolve in normal ways. So the music sounds very free and flexible. And in this music, the poem is called Fairyland, and I think you get that feeling. It's light, ephemeral, lots of ornamentation, airy. It's airy music. And these are all words that may or may not mean anything to someone who's thinking about music, but I think that's all I'll say about it. I think it's just very, it's abstract.
And, one of the reasons I decided not to be a music critic, which I considered at one point, is that I could never figure out how to describe music in words.
It
so
is difficult. Yes.
I'm very sympathetic to the challenge of doing it. The recital is tonight at 8 o'clock at Westbrook Auditorium on the Illinois Wesleyan University campus in Bloomington, presentation of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival. Music and poetry featuring a pianist, Kent Cook, from Wesleyan. Violist Michael Isaac Strauss from Oberlin Conservatory, oboist Roger Rowe from Indiana University, and also from Wesleyan, poet Michael Tooney, who will be reciting the poems that inspired some of this music. Let's go out with a piece by a composer not well known unless you are a violist. Nonetheless, she wrote some really beautiful music. Her name, Rebecca Clark, and this is a bit from her sonata for viola and piano, which will be on that concert. Again, it starts at 8 o'clock. Kent, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
That's the second movement of the Viola Sonata from 1919 by Rebecca Clark, and performed here by violist Barbara Westfall with pianist Jeffrey Swan. It'll be played tonight, a complete sonata, by violist Michael Isaac Strauss from Oberlin Conservatory and pianist R. Kent Cook from Illinois Wesleyan, who, of course, was my guest the first portion of this show. And now I will be talking with a fellow we've been talking about for a little while. His name, Michael Tooney. He is associate professor of English at Illinois Wesleyan, also a poet and critic, and will be reading some of the poetry, as we've mentioned, that inspired the music on this concert at Illinois Wesleyan.
I think I am fortunately one of only two poets, centrally poets, in the English department. And my other colleague, I think, may have been busy, and so it came down to me.
So you figure you were the last choice?
I think so, somehow. But I'm not daunted at all, Kevin.
Well, before I actually ask you some things pertinent to this program, I was just looking over at the on your website, where it lists courses frequently taught, and the first thing listed there is something called SWAT, SAS, Wit, and Text.
Yeah,
I'm very curious. What's that about?
Yeah, it's a course that attempts to use comedy as a way into actually writing academic papers, thinking that comedy is one of the few ways that I can actually teach style to students. Comedy is kind of style weaponized, and so it's a great way to teach style, but then additionally there are a number of kind of comedic techniques and movements that can be translated into creating academic essays. So it's an introduction to academic writing, but we use sass and wit to get us there.
That sounds fair enough, and a way to get people's attention, I guess.
Indeed.
Hopefully so they don't nod off in the midst if it's not something that they
that's right.
May be otherwise inclined to do. And a little bit about, I know you write poetry and criticism, and criticism listed here. An investigation of hybrid poetry and poetics. What do those two terms mean?
Sure. In hybrid poetry is the name for a. It's a relatively new kind of poetry, and hybrid poetry combines more traditional or mainstream lyric effort with more avant-garde experimental methods. And so very often in some recent thinking about about American poetry has been kind of divided into two different camps, and the camps always get different names, and hybrid poetry is an effort to bring those two camps together. And in my work I say that I love that effort, I love what hybrid poetry undertakes. I don't think it does it very well, generally. I'm a bit critical of that movement.
And you're involved in writing some poems currently having to do with Neruda's Book of Questions?
That's a project, a collaborative project. A silly project, but it's one that I think has a great deal of life to it. I worked with a collaborator, Chip Corwin, who actually is a former student of mine. He's now a law student up at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And Pablo Neruda has a terrific book called The Book of Questions, and it's simply a book that lists these gorgeous kind of lyrical questions such as, tell me, is the dictionary a sepulcher or a honeycomb? And so it's a book of a number of those kinds of questions. And so Chip and I wrote a number of kind of responses to that. So we wrote, of course, the book of follow-up questions. We wrote the book of answers, where we used a magic eight ball to provide answers to all of those questions. And we wrote a piece called the book of exclamations. Neruda clearly found the poetry that was embedded in the question. Chip and I wanted to know if there was a poetry of the exclamation, and I think we found it.
Well, that may seem silly, as you said, but it also sounds like it was a great deal of fun.
It has been a great deal of fun.
So the poems that you're going to be reading in connection with this concert, during this concert, how do they fit? Do any of these really fit in the things that you are doing generally?
They do, actually, Kevin, in, I would say, two ways. One other class that I teach is, it's essentially an introduction to literature course, and it's an introduction to poetry class, but it's a class called Poetry Through Performance. And what I did for that class was I took what often happens in poetry classes, where in a semester, a teacher might have 1 week that serves as kind of, this is the week when we will read the poems out loud, and you might memorize a poem and then perform it. But it's always kind of relegated to a relatively minor portion of the semester. But what always seems strange about that is that so often that seems to be the student's kind of most, kind of, it's the liveliest week in that class. The students take the most interest in that. And so I simply decided to make performance really a theme and a constant activity throughout the semester. So we're learning a lot about the basics of poetry, but it's always with performance at the forefront there. And so so this is me trying to actually now use some of the techniques that I teach in that class, a lot about rhetorical stresses, rhetorical pauses, volume control, just trying to use a number of those techniques to try to bring the poem to life through the voice. It's a terrible thing to think that a poem simply is a kind of monotonous droning for a couple of minutes of your life that you can never get back. A poem is a beautiful transcript of a voice, and it's like music that then the voice has to then play. And so that's one way that the performance tonight links up with some of my other projects. The other way that it links up is that one of my major undertakings for the past few years has been to work with this aspect or an element of poems called the poetic turn. And the turn is a major shift in the rhetorical or dramatic trajectory of a poem. In sonnets, the turn is known as the volta. But my work has been to try to show that such turning is a vital part of all kinds of poems. And I'm not the first person at all to say that, but in poetry, as literature, and even in poetry writing pedagogy, we've paid very sporadic attention to the turn, and I'm trying to develop ways to make that more systematic by naming different kinds of turns, by identifying them and drawing attention to them. And there is not one of the poems that I will read tonight that doesn't have at least one major dramatic turn in it. So I will try to convey those turns forcefully, but with grace as well.
I wonder how many of your students will be there to judge you.
I've assigned them all. They'll all be there, or they will feel the wrath of, there is no wrath.
There's no wrath, but have you then also assigned them to write a critique?
Perhaps they can get a co-curricular credit for going to a certain amount of poetry events on campus, and this will be one of those events that they can get that credit for. So, and then they do write a brief description of the event and reflect on the event. So, I might get some critique from them.
Well, I think you're prepared to actually read a couple of these poems.
Yeah.
One by Edgar Allan Poe and one by Maurice Rollinat. What do you want to do first?
Let's do the Poe.
Okay, then the Po, to remind folks who were listening earlier, or just to let know anybody who's just tuning in now, first of all, what we're talking about, and my guest this portion of the show is Michael Tooney, who's a poet at Illinois Wesleyan University. He's going to be participating in this concert tonight from the Illinois Chamber Music Festival on the Wesleyan campus in Bloomington, which is of chamber music for oboe, a viola, and piano, and with Kent Cook, Michael Strauss from Oberlin, and Roger Rowe from Indiana University. And each of the pieces has been inspired in some way or another by poetry, either directly in the case of these two rhapsodies by Charles Martin Loeffler, which are also the names of the poems, and also in the case of music by Felix Harold White. And then this Edgar Allan Poe poem, which inspired music by Joseph Holbrook, called simply A Nocturne. And so I guess that's what we're going to hear.
Right.
We weren't able to hear the music because we don't have a recording of it. So we'll have to imagine the music from the poem.
Oh, boy.
And then people can go to the concert and see how it all comes together.
Terrific.
Have at it.
All right. This is Fairyland by Edgar Allan Poe. Dim veils and shadowy floods and cloudy-looking woods whose forms we can't discover for the tears that drip all over. Huge moons there wax and wane again, 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 every moment of the night forever changing places, and they put out the starlight with the breath from their pale faces. About 12 by the moon dial, one more filmy than the rest, a kind witch upon trial they have found to be the best, comes down, still down and down, with its center on the crown of a mountain's eminence, while its wide circumference in easy drapery falls over hamlets, over halls, wherever they may be, or the strange woods, or the sea, over spirits on the wing, over every drowsy thing, and buries them up quite in a labyrinth of light. And then, how deep, oh deep, is the passion of their sleep. In the morning, they arise, and their moony covering is soaring in the skies with the tempests as they toss, like almost anything or a yellow albatross. They use that moon no more for the same end as before, videlicet it a tent, which I think extravagant, its atomies, however, into a shower dissever, of which those butterflies of earth who seek the skies and so come down again, never contented things, have brought a specimen upon their quivering wings.
Fairyland by Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah. A beautiful, darkly romantic Poe poem, right? This image of these moons, this strange moonscape that's blurred by tears, and then thinking about how that light works, and then the light of the moons going away in the daytime, and then suddenly being transformed into these butterflies, who then are these kind of specimens of this emotional engagement.
So one might imagine that since Joseph Holbrook called his music Nocturne, which
indeed
implies a night piece, that perhaps he focuses on that part of it, maybe.
Yeah, and in fact, I believe there's a moon in all of these pieces. So the moon is very present.
Oh, throughout the concert.
Just about, yeah. I don't think that it was a named theme, but the moon makes numerous appearances.
And we're not going to hear you do any of Andrew Marvell's poem.
That's right.
The nymph's complaint for the death of her fawn is quite long. But did you tell me when we were preparing for this interview that you're attempting to do a nymph's voice?
Well, this is why I'm not reading it on radio, because I don't want anybody recording my efforts to do a nymph's voice. So people may come to the performance tonight to find out what I go with. but I just don't want any recordings of that made. So it's going to be a very husky nymph. I'm thinking maybe I'll be, you know, inspired by, say, Kathleen Turner or something. It'll be a kind of Kathleen Turner nymph.
Whatever happened to Kathleen Turner? I guess that's another question, isn't it?
That's right. She's occasionally around, you know, in The Virgin Suicides, a terrific movie, and she shows up there. And so she makes her appearances,
okay.
And her voice might just appear tonight.
So she is still inspiring.
Absolutely.
And then the two rhapsodies by Charles Martin Loeffler with poetry by Maurice Rollinat. You're going to do one.
Yeah, I think, and I'll do the one in which the moon appears just to make it a set.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, so this is from two rhapsodies. This is the first one called The Pond. Filled with aged fish struck blind, the pond, beneath a laden sky rumbling with muffled thunder, lapping against centuries-old reeds, spreads its awful obscurity. Beyond, elves illumine other dark swamps, ominous and feared, but this one, in its abandoned spot, is known only by the frightful croaking of consumptive toads. The moon, just now appearing, seems mirrored there so oddly, its ghostly face, with flattened nose and strangely vacant jaw, like a death's head lit from within, come to gaze at itself in a darkened mirror.
Good heavens.
Yeah.
That almost sounds like more likely from Poe.
Indeed, right. These are at least the poems. Of course, Marvell was well before romantic poetry came into play, but even that one has a kind of, there's a dark romanticism to it, and in terms of the poems that will be read tonight, that will very much be the tone of the poems.
All right. Well, people, will just have to attend and find out how it all fits together. It's a fascinating concept, and it appears that these themes showed up that were unintended when the musicians were selecting the music. They just picked music that happened to be for their combination of instruments and came up with these threads.
That's right.
Unexpectedly.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, and the romantics or a poet like Baudelaire would love something like that, right? It's correspondences when these odd moments in life or these odd images coalesce in ways that we don't expect them to. And then it's the poet who is the person who creates those connections and makes those correspondences. So we'll hear some, hopefully hear some beautiful and dark poems tonight, and hopefully get catch a glimpse or an echo of some interesting correspondences as well.
Right, and find out how a composer deals with the concept of consumptive toads.
That's right.
If I heard that right.
Absolutely.
Michael Tooney is a associate professor of English at Illinois Wesleyan University, also a poet and critic, and he is going to be participating by reciting some of the poetry involved in a concert tonight at 8 o'clock at Illinois Wesleyan's campus in Bloomington at Westbrook Auditorium, a program of the Illinois Chamber Music Festival. And that starts at 8 o'clock. Mike, thanks very much for joining us on the show.
My great pleasure, Kevin. Thank you so much for having me.
And here, since we have just heard the poem that goes with that is the first of the rhapsodies as set by Charles Martin Loeffler, I thought I'd play a good chunk of that rhapsody, the music. It's, by the way, it's called The Pond or The Pool, depending upon how you translate it. And we will hear oboist John Dee, violist Michael McClelland, and the pianist is Roberta Rust, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9.